Hello and welcome to Killing Time. This is the show that searches for entertainment that does not suck. My name is Ayaz Akhtar because that's my name. You shouldn't be confused by that statement. With me, as always, is the man with a plan, the man you don't call Dan, the man who will slam you down with a fan, JB. What up?
Not much. Speaking of slamming down, I think we got to talk some WrestleMania.
Before we talk about WrestleMania, I forgot to alert my fiance downstairs. I'm recording. Sorry. There we go.
Good job.
All I have to do is remember to do that before we record, and I forget. Two out of every three times. So WrestleMania happened, and if you can see behind me is my really janky projection screen, which costs like a total of $20, and some time with the Gorilla Tape, which is holding it up right now against the brick because I do not have a permanent installation. Did you watch this year's WrestleMania?
I did. I'm not as big a fan as you are, but I did watch this year's WrestleMania.
I'm trying to get some suitable B-roll, but this year's WrestleMania was really, really, really long, right? We talked about it.
Yes.
A total of 7 hours. You got 2 hours of pre-show. I'm not making this up. This isn't like exaggeration. It's a two-hour pre-show, which had three matches, and there was a five-hour main card. Of course, Ronda Rousey was there, and she had a spectacular match, surprisingly so, I would say.
And that was my question to you. So the everything on social media is how awesome she was, kind of the best rookie match ever that everybody thought she was going to suck, and she came out actually looking not completely polished, but somewhat polished. Now, you as a longtime fan, was that your take on it?
Yeah, so when I saw her match, I thought it worked really well. The story of the match was really good. You had this, the story goes, if you haven't seen WrestleMania, this is going to be shorter than WrestleMania, this episode. Do you think
March.
So? There's a chance.
Oh, yes.
Good chance.
Yeah.
Maybe like 4 hours and 59 minutes, but it's still shorter. The story of the match was very, very well told. It's a mixed match, which means the men can't fight the women and the women can't fight the men, in theory. That's the rules, okay? So they kept keeping Ronda out of the picture until finally she comes in. Now, how did she perform all the moves she did? She did a great job with those moves. They looked good. They looked crisp. They looked dangerous at times, but not like dangerous as in she doesn't know what she's doing. Dangerous as in like it was executed very well. The real thing, though, is to question how much of a standard are we seeing here? Because this match could have been rehearsed a bunch of times between these four performers. They're both obviously this was the first match for Ronda Rousey in a WWE ring, and Triple H and Stephanie and Kurt Angle, they're not like regular performers when it comes to the wrestling part. So they had time to set aside to practice this match and make sure it went off without a hitch. It's a 20-minute match. It's a long match. And it had a lot of shenanigans going on, a lot of interference and things. But Rousey looked really good. I don't know if it's indicative of her future performance. But the major thing she did that I think a lot of people did notice as well is that she sold. Like, she had facials. Yeah. And one of the biggest things about a real athlete, a real fighter, is that they do not sell. If you're in pain, you don't go like, oh, I'm really hurt, and like, oh, look at this, or whatever. And Rousey, in previous live appearances, has shown a weakness in this emoting part, because that's...
Well, not just live. In movies she's been in, she's been weak. I've heard some people say this was the best acting they've ever seen her do.
Well, that's probably true. I haven't seen her in anything else other than UFC and some really awkward conversations with reporters. I've never seen any of her movies, but she was really, really emotive in this. And that, I think, is going to be a real asset that she's able to make that switch. She didn't move a million miles an hour. She actually did slow down a lot. Even though I said she's very fast in the ring, she performs the moves in a deliberate, easy way for people to understand, even if you're way up in the cheap seats. So I thought that was really good. And obviously, she was really helped by having Triple H in the ring and having Kurt Angle.
Right.
These guys are
right.
excellent. And Stephanie McMahon is not a great wrestler, but she is a great performer in the fact that you want her to get destroyed.
Yes, and that's what she brings to the table. You want her to lose. Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. So we got her comeuppance there. Otherwise, on the 5 hours, we had The Undertaker taking on John Cena. Did you see this three-minute match?
I did. The biggest part was just Undertaker, his music playing and him coming in. That was most of the match. And then, you know, there was some match, but, you know.
Yeah, so you have The Undertaker showing up again after he was retired by Roman Reigns last year, which makes you think, what? Why would you do that? Look,
yeah.
I'm a fan of The Undertaker. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he does a great job when it comes to these performances as well. But if you're building a guy, this Roman Reigns guy, you might have heard of him. If you're building him, and his one of his claims to fame is, I retired The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
He needs to stay retired.
Yeah, and yeah. That, I think, kind of hurts the Roman Reigns character. We'll talk about the Roman Reigns thing later.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, if you're not a fan of wrestling at all, I'm really glad you're still watching. So thanks for watching right now.
Like I said, this year it made it into social media, so people know a lot more about it. And I think it's mostly because of Ronda that people were talking about it. But it's good. I mean, wrestling, it was pretty good, honestly. Other than, I thought it was a little drawn out with the 5 hours. I started getting a little tired towards the end.
It definitely...
And probably a little drunk, too, because I was drinking a lot of beer at the time.
You know, I was actually moderating my beer for the first time at WrestleMania, like, ever. Normally, I go, like, 3 sheets to the wind. It's 5 hours, 7 hours, and I start, like, okay, and it's, oh, you got to have a brunch, right? You have first Sunday, and then you're like, hey, what happened in the main event? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But on Sunday night, not the case. I had a very, very slow build-up. I saved good beers for what I thought would be the big matches. And let's talk about one of the matches right now. It was the dream match. Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. They were talking about, like, this is going to be a big deal. And they're going to do their Wrestle Kingdom match, essentially, at WrestleMania. And it was hard-hitting. But this is, like, hour 4, I want to say, of the actual event.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like it never really took off.
Never took off. It felt like it was going to kick in and never did.
Yeah. So... And that all made sense by the end of their segment, because this is the event where Nakamura turns heel. Makes my son cry on the couch, by the way, because he's like, how come everybody like this happens? And I'm like, no, this is good for Nakamura. He's going to be like the top bad guy on...
No, he's going to be an awesome bad guy. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, so essentially this part, I mean, this will bother... If you guys watch television or you watch sports or any of this stuff, and you're like, hey, look, this is supposed to be like the season finale. This is the big one because everything essentially resets after Mania. And they're using Mania, though, in this case, to set up a new angle between Nakamura and AJ Styles. Now, it's a good thing to from now on we have him as evil, but it's almost like they held back on the match because we're going to get something totally different with heel Nakamura. Instead of just going...
They held back on it to create the story, what they did.
And because of that, like, and you're investing all this time in this episode, this 5-hour episode of wrestling television, essentially. It's like, well, I'm sure the next match is going to be awesome.
Yeah, like I said, it's a good prequel, is what it is. It's a prequel.
Yeah, or like, here's the prologue. And you're like, you don't want to look at the prologue. I'm at Wrestle Freaking Mania. It's supposed to be the thing. It's the thing. Why is this not the actual thing when it wasn't the thing? So that was kind of a downer. Something fell because of my rage, that noise. But anyway, so that was a solid match, by the way. Just because it didn't seem like it got going.
I think it was because we expected more from it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then we can go off to the Charlotte versus Asuka match, where Charlotte Flair actually beat Asuka. Asuka lost for the first time in approximately 2 years. And that was unexpected, hard-hitting match. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch WrestleMania, I recommend this. Watch like the first 2 hours, not the pre-show, the 2 hours, because it's really solid. Mm-hmm. The first 2 hours, then the crowd dies and nobody cares. And then I think this might be the actual turning point. It's where we get the Daniel Bryan match where he returned.
Yes, that was excellent.
Okay, so you think it's excellent? Why was it excellent for you?
Because of him. I'm a fan of his. And that was why I liked it. The actual match, but just him, I guess, is what sold it for me. And I think a lot of other people, too.
Yeah, so one of the weird things was in the beginning of the match, they knocked Bryan out. And so you don't get him for the first, like half of the match. It's ridiculous because don't forget, all McMahons are superheroes.
Right.
So he's able to fend off both Owens and Zayn for the time being.
Yes.
Assuming you buy into the fact that the McMahons are superheroes and they can survive anything, this is fine.
I've just gotten used to it.
How does Stephanie McMahon? She's the only person, one of the few people on the planet who can stop a Ronda Rousey armbar. How could she do that? she's a superhero, clearly. She's got a healing factor or some kind of super strength. And then also the same thing with Shane McMahon. So we had this first half. And then you have, obviously, Daniel Bryan kicking a lot of ass. It was kind of like cathartic. It's like, oh, this guy's back at his job. He seems really happy. And it was really fun to watch. Let's skip around and talk about the main event. It's this guy, former UFC heavyweight champion of the world. It's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever heard of him. Anyone?
Yeah. No. And he took on Roman Reigns. And guess what? After all these years, this is a WrestleMania 31 rematch. This is 3 years in the making. They let Lesnar win, which was
they did.
Very confusing.
I was surprised. I didn't see that coming. They've been pushing Roman Reigns so hard for the last 3-4 years. I was like, wow.
Now, if you're still watching at this point and you have no idea what we're talking about, I'm going to give a little bit of background, tiny bit. For the past 4 years, Roman Reigns has main evented WrestleMania. Four years in a row. The only other person who's done that in a row is Hulk Hogan. And that was a very different era in wrestling. How he gets to do this is beyond me, essentially. This match was entertaining for the wrong reasons. The crowd was pissed at this point. Like, they did not seem to care about this match. They were playing with beach balls. There was a chance of this is awful. There was just all of this anger that this match is even happening. Everyone's expecting Reigns to win because why would you build this up for a year and not pull the trigger? And they didn't pull the trigger. So by the time the match ends, nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're supposed to have this shock, and the other story they were building up is that no one's kicked out of the F5 in like a year. Great. So Reigns kicks out of the first one and there is no reaction to it. He kicks out of 5 of these. One of them included on the table. The 6th one ends the match. And it was just this weird anticlimactic finish to a build that should have finally ended. Now, the rumor is, I don't think you're in on this, there's another network special coming up on the 27th of April called The Greatest Royal Rumble. It's going to take place in Saudi Arabia. Apparently, WWE is getting paid a crap ton of money to be there because, you know, apparently, there's like not good political things going on there. That's the easiest way to put it.
Yeah.
None of the women can wrestle on this event. This is going to be 50-man Royal Rumble. There's going to be a rematch of Reigns versus Lesnar in a cage.
And this is a rumor or this is actually happening?
Oh, this event is happening. This is a real thing that's happening. The Greatest Royal Rumble is the title of it. It is not a pay-per-view. It's going to be available on the network only. It actually airs in the U.S. at 12 p.m. on Friday the 27th Eastern time, because it's obviously not meant for our... They're trying to make money in Saudi Arabia. So, this is where...
Are they big fans?
A big enough opportunity, apparently, is there that they can sell out the King Abdullah Stadium, I want to say it's called, which I don't know the capacity of it, but it's a major show going on there, and a lot of people are expecting Lesnar to lose there, which would be somewhat of an insult to WrestleMania, which is weird because like WrestleMania is like the biggest thing they have.
They would take the wind out of WrestleMania and put it into this other thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
And here's the other thing. Here's why people are believing this, because there's the reports claim, this is Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez over at the Wrestling Observer, and they're freaking amazing. So it's a subscription-based news site. Definitely worth the money. They say that Lesnar's been signed for about a short-term deal, and essentially maybe even just like 2 dates where he shows up.
So he might be done after that.
His contract was up anyway. So they had to do an extension. So they had to do some kind of re-signing for him to be even doing this. And Lesnar famously doesn't like to travel. So to get him to go to Saudi Arabia.
It's got to be big.
It really has to be big because that's a lot of money to fork over to this guy so he can go over there and he has to lose because there's no real reason you bring him there. If you're going like, we're just going to have a match and nothing's going to happen. They're not going to bring out Brock Lesnar for that. You just bring out anybody else to fill this spot and you'd be fine with that. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns. Fine. Go with that. Who cares?
Yeah.
Or do a tag match. We'll have Rousey back in there. I think they could probably pay her less money than... I'm not saying that as a wage gap thing. I'm talking about like Lesnar is freaking...
Yeah.
His contracts are insane. Actually, maybe Rousey's are too. I don't know. But she works a lot more dates than Lesnar does.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen on the 27th. So I'm going to be watching that. Huh. When it happens, but the 50-man Royal Rumble is going to take forever, because
yeah,
50 guys.
Do they 50 guys, you got it coming in one of the, geez, that's going to be long.
Yes. And
I'll have to watch it afterwards on fast forward.
Yeah, you can skip around. I mean, it's going to be on demand. Speaking on demand, we would like to demand respect to our patrons who are supporting us at patreon.com/eyes. You guys are freaking awesome. Thank you for continuing to support our show. We're going to be doing more things. We are putting out sillier, terrible videos from our past available to the patrons first. So if you reach this level, you get a video credit. If you just are a patron, you get to see stuff early. And if you just hang around the site, you'll see stuff eventually because it's just early access. So thank you guys for supporting our show, patreon.com/eyes. If you want to support the show, go there. Give us a buck. I'll take a buck. How about it? Every back helps. Every buck helps. I don't know what.
every buck.
Overall, Mania, I got to watch on my projector back here. It was really cool to watch on a big screen. Is it worth watching? Parts of it.
No. Yeah, parts of it. I'd say, you know, at this point, you know, look at some of the clips people have online.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of them are good.
They
have the good stuff. You can see people have posted it, and you know the sites have shown it. So that's what you go with.
Okay, we can. You know what? We're actually going really long. We got 16 minutes of this recording. Real quick, Ready Player One. You saw it in 3D.
3D totally. That movie was made for 3D. That's all I have to say. The virtual worlds looked amazing in 3D. It's the first movie I've ever gone to 3D that I enjoyed the 3D aspect of it because of the way it was made. Now, the best thing that ever happened to me was you telling me not to go in there thinking it's going to be like the book, because I think that allowed me to enjoy it more. I think if I went in there looking for something that was like the book, I wouldn't have enjoyed it. But because I was going in there saying, okay, let's pretend this is something I've never seen before, I actually thought it was decent. Since not amazing, but decent.
Since we spoke last, I watched it again. I watched it with some friends, and I wanted to check my notes. I did notes when I was at the screening. I'm like, this movie seems to drag at the end. This isn't a spoiler, because I'm not going to explain.
The five endings.
I counted nine.
Nine
moments where they could have ended the movie. I'm like, you could stop here.
Yeah.
And I even decided to extend part of it, because I actually had more than nine when I was, I'm like, this scene could end here. We could end it here. Yeah. But no, I'm like, wait a minute, where would a natural ending be? Nine of these freaking things, nine of them, I counted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why? I get that you have to wrap up things, but you don't have to wrap up everything.
Right.
I will say, I want to thank the one guy on YouTube who commented on our full review, or our short review, spoiler-free review, saying an intelligent comment, by the way. I'm very thrilled when people actually write an actual discourse saying the movie could have been, well, wasn't like the book, and it was kind of rushed. It felt like it should be a two-parter. Yeah. Do you think it should be a two-parter?
Absolutely. There is a part in the book where it's a perfect stopping point for one to two parts, and it would have been easy to do it that way, but they rushed it, and, you know, I don't know why they rushed it. There was no rush. I mean, it's not like they were going to lose the rights or something to it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were trying to get it out in between superhero movies, which is now very difficult to do.
I mean, look, even if they cut it after one of the nine endings, you could have still had a second half.
Yeah.
You could still probably fit in more. With that, we're going to get out of here. We do new episodes semi-frequently. So if you go to killingtime.tv, you will see them there. You can find them on youtube.com/finitecomedy and wherever else. Check me on Twitter. I usually tell people when these things are out. So we're going to get out of here, and thanks for watching.
Yeah. Bye-bye.